Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Matrix Mouth Miller.
How you doing there, Blake Buck?
Now, we don't have any Justin Fick this week. He's off making games.
Actually, Justin Fick has been in San Francisco at the Moscone Center for WWDC. That's the Worldwide Developers Conference. It's where a bunch of sweaty Mac nerds get together and talk about how awesome they are.
Man, do you remember Marathon? That game was great.
It was awesome.
Oh, did you know a new map pack came out for Marathon?
Too bad it's getting delisted.
We need to get Bruce on the show to explain like what happened with that game.
Oh, God. Well, it's not their fault. I mean, people just didn't like the game.
Nobody knows what Marathon is except for losers.
Well,
all of them are
the hardcore Bungie
everybody,
fans know what
everybody
it is,
who knows what Marathon is at WWDC right now.
Right. Telling each other how awesome they are.
Oh my God, this new Mac pack is killer. Anyway, Wayne Miller, we gotta get back to battle.
Probably up there in like the three biggest challenges of my life, along with being born and playing Mega Man for the first time.
And you just must say two words. I accept.
I accept.
I accept.
I accept this challenge.
Okie dokie.
Well, I'm done going on a hot date with my wife.
Look, that plan is over.
That plan is done.
I'm about to go on a hot date. No.
No.
You've got cancer again.
We do have to get back to battle.
We hadn't done battle in so long. In case you don't know what battle is, this is where we call up one of our listeners. We don't like any of you, okay? we don't want you to call us, so we'll call you, give you a mission, and if you can complete this mission, you will no longer be shit in our eyes.
Now, this is
but a gladiator on High Mountain.
A gladiator on High Mountain. This is sort of an interesting battle, too, because for the first time, we are going to take a suggestion
right
from our listeners. Somebody sent us an email and suggested this battle, so if you recognize whose battle this is.
But you don't get in battle. The person who suggested
no.
it. You know, you have
you,
to win
You never
battle.
Suggest your own battle.
Oh, faux pas. Get out of here.
Mm-mm.
Oh, and by the way, if you want to sign up for battle, call on our listener line, 845-BATTLE-9, or send us an email at feedback@bestendpodcastever.com. We're going to call up today. Who's on the line? It's Joshua C. Okay, I'll read this from the email. This is from Leggy McJeggy is his name. Idea for battle. Contestant has 1 hour to find a couple of friends, construct the best costumes they can, resembling video game characters, and head on into the wide world and create their own favorite game, recreate their favorite game, or a game of their choosing. As long as people are around looking terrified, I don't care. My personal suggestions are Mortal Kombat and Resident Evil.
Those are pretty good.
I'll tell you what if we have, okay, we can let him do whatever game he wants, but if he can get, like, if he could somehow work in a game of our choosing, double.
Double. All right, well, what's the game we're going to choose?
What does that mean? Double. Like, that doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean... But you get it.
You get double.
Doesn't matter. All right, what's the game? Space Channel 5.
Wait, what?
Come on.
Space Michael?
Space Channel 5.
Wait.
If you could work in an appearance of Space Michael, then you're a reenactment. You get double.
Or Itagaki. All right, we'll go with that.
Or Itagaki. He's not doing
Itagaki, a fairly easy costume to construct. Some shades, a jacket... Wig, maybe.
We got more on Itagaki a little bit later. Let's call this guy up. What's his name again? Joshua?
Joshua C.
All right.
Now you going to do the talking.
All right, all right.
Hello?
Hello, is this Joshua C?
Hello?
Is this Joshua C?
That's calling. I'm good, but y'all sounded really kind of echoey.
Well, we got a strange setup over here. Listen, are you ready for battle?
Could you say that again?
Good.
I cannot hear you guys.
Let me see if I can. I don't know. Let me see if I can figure out why I'm watching.
I'm like in space.
Well, here is your challenge. Are you ready to hear it?
I'll try to understand what the challenge is, but go ahead.
Okay. You're going to get a couple buddies, a couple friends of yours, or you can go by yourself, either one.
I tell you what, you want to call on the phone, you can call.
Yeah, we're just going to call you on the phone and explain this.
Hello?
right, can you hear us better now?
Yes, I can.
All right, great. Here is your challenge.
Okay.
All right, you can get a couple friends together, or you can do this just by yourself, but it'd be better with...
I have friends with me.
Okay,
that's perfect.
So here's what you need to do. Within 1 hour, you must construct the best costumes for your favorite video game characters. You must then go somewhere and recreate scenes from your favorite video games.
Ideally a public place.
With games, lots of people.
GameStop maybe GameStop, a mall, Walmart, right. Whatever you can come up with.
Yes. And, of course...
Create characters from the game, from any game.
Any game.
But bonus points will be awarded.
Yes, bonus points will be awarded if you can work in Space Michael from Space Channel 5 or Tomonobu Itagaki.
I will try not to let you guys down.
All right, you have approximately 1 hour. So we will be calling you when we wrap up the show, and we can't wait to see what you got.
All right,
best of luck and Godspeed.
So bad.
May I ask who's calling, please? glorious. We're going to get back with Joshua C. a little later in the show. Now, if you want to sign up for battle,
feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. Just include the word battle somewhere in the subject line or call our listener line 845-BATTLE-9.
Also, be sure to indicate whether or not you have a car. No, you don't have to tell us your age.
No,
just
dude,
let us know.
No, it should not matter. No, look. You do it or you don't. All right.
Okay.
Ideally,
enough.
You want a car and to be available.
Do we still want the time zone at least?
Well, maybe.
We want your time zone.
Time zone.
At the very least.
At the most, you mean, son.
At the most. Excuse me. All right. What we got for news?
This week
Blake
in
Buck?
The news, we're. Guitar Hero World Tour shreds off a new guitar and some new songs.
God, do that again.
Cut that. Stringer says games are a top priority. Metal Gear Solid 4 boosts PS3 sales in Japan. Who'd thunk it? THQ taps UFC. Oh, it's stupid. Don't do that.
We're not doing it. If you haven't noticed, we're just reading the headlines off of GameSpot.
We don't have fixed, so it hadn't really made a...
We don't have a proper wiki today, yeah. So we're going to do some news. And then
we've got Itagaki, or what do we call it?
Gaki Gate.
We got all the details on that. Godfather authored estate sues over Godfather game, and some anime boo-boo nonsense about Final Fantasy 13. I don't even know what that is.
Don't know what that is.
Probably William knows all about that. All that and more in this week's Best Damn Podcast Ever.
All right, Blake Buck. So we've gotten a slew of news about new Guitar Hero related peripherals. We're wafting in the wind is talk of Rock Band 2. We have Guitar Hero on tour coming out with the new drums. It looked pretty hot.
Blake Buck does not approve of them new drums.
I don't understand.
They stealing.
Well, of course. See, this is like a battle for peripheral supremacy because the games are essentially the same. I mean, Guitar Hero 4 kind of dumb.
Right.
Or Guitar Hero 3, whatever, a little dumb. All that mess they put in
there.
Yeah,
what are they going to like it. Well, I mean, that's the problem. It's like they got a, like, Activision, or who is it that's doing, what's it, Treyarch?
No, it's Neversoft?
Neversoft.
That's it.
Like, they haven't made anything innovative in about 10 years, so they got to grabble at any, like, nuggets of innovation that fall off the harmonics table.
That's right. So what do we see?
Tony Hawk.
The only way that they can grow, and this is sort of an inevitable thing, is that they have to one up each other with their peripherals. So what do you not like about the new drums,
dude? It ain't Rock Band, baby.
But they got cymbals, son.
Dude, I don't need no cymbals. That's nonsense.
Also, in addition, I think I even saw some third party Rock Band compatible drum peripherals.
Uh-oh.
Have you seen those, Blake
no, I ain't
Buck?
Seen
They're
that.
Like made of steel cage.
Oh yeah,
and, like,
yeah, I have
sort
heard
of
those.
Yeah, sort of beefier looking.
So, Activision and Neversoft confirm rumors of a touch strip guitar neck for Guitar Hero Holiday Edition. It's got Billy Idol, Foo Fighters, Sublime, Linkin Park, Van Halen, and the Eagles. Most of those don't suck.
So that's pretty cool. Do you not push buttons? Do you just kind of like...
Yeah, let me see.
And it's a nice like sunburst varnish on that thing. Looks pretty hot.
World Tour's new guitar, which will feature a multi-purpose touch strip that, among uses, accommodates the Dragon Force-style finger-tapping solos and adds distortion effects separate from the standard whammy bar. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Did you see that guy on YouTube that broke the Guinness World Record and actually beat that song 100%?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That was insane. He was doing the finger-tapping on the buttons. Like,
yeah.
You know, when I was working there, we probably got an email once every week asking for us to put Dragon Force
so far away, we live for the day
in that game. And we didn't do it for some reason. That's the only thing I like about Guitar Hero 3. It's like they put Dragon Force it's hard as hell, and somebody beat it. Somebody's always going to beat it.
You know what I love the most about... what was I going to say? I've like totally lost my train of thought. Oh, you know what drives me crazy? So now they got this new finger tap guitar, right? By the time Guitar Hero like 8 comes out, I'm gonna have about 100 guitars.
Yeah.
Because they keep coming out with new ones. Oh, this one got a little jiggle thing on it. Put your finger in there, wiggle it around.
Well, here's my thing. Like to do the finger tap business, you gotta be really good. Like is that gonna play to? Probably like 10 people.
I know. So, like that's the problem. I feel that Guitar Hero is going into this direction of the super elite, which newsflash, most people who play Guitar Hero suck dick. Guitar Hero 3 was way too hard for a beginner level.
It was.
Even the easy levels. People told me, I don't even play, you know, people who aren't as good as me. Obviously, I'm a fucking master. But people who aren't as good as me, you know, will say, I can't even play Guitar Hero 3, even on the easiest settings.
I appreciate the fact that the hard mode is really hard, but I don't think the easy, it doesn't have the same ease of entry into...
Right, like Guitar Hero 2, anybody can pick that up and play. Guitar Hero 3, you gotta have little chops, you know?
Yeah.
Alright, so they also announced a couple new songs, and nonsense goes with Billy Idol's Rebel Yell, Foo Fighters' Everlong, Sublime, Santeria, blah, Linkin Park. Dude, Linkin Park sucks so much. Why would they would ever put Linkin Park in anything? How about you put him in the garbage?
So, Rebel Yell, right? Blake Buck's college, Ole Miss. Their mascot is the Ole Miss Rebel.
Dude, I was in a liquor store the other day. You know that's a good store when it starts. But there's a type of bourbon called Rebel Yell.
Uh-oh.
And you can get 750 milliliters of that for $10. It will probably melt your face off.
Probably. But anyway, like, every football game the Ole Miss Rebels play, they play that song, Rebel Yell.
It's Dixie, baby.
It's Dixie, baby. And Heritage.
Anyway,
it ain't hate, it's Heritage.
It's supposed to be hitting Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 2, and the Wii this fall. Pricing information has not yet been announced, but retailers are rumoring that the bundle is going to be between $179 and $189. If that was for all three, I guess that is all three. That's about the price of Rock Band.
Yeah, about.
So that gets you guitar. But they still don't have microphone. And I don't think that Guitar Hero is going to have the microphone for a while.
Do you think they'll even try it? I mean, is that something
Neversoft has that, like, technology. Remember, they did all those karaoke games, and they essentially were, like, copy-paste code.
Now, wait a minute. Right. Was that Karaoke Revolution that they did? Okay, well, Karaoke Revolution, from what I understand, they licensed Harmonix technology to make Karaoke Revolution, because Harmonix got kickbacks from them. I think that's how that
Yeah, no, Harmonix made that game.
Yeah, I know they made the game, but they didn't actually develop all of the subsequent ones.
Oh,
and I think they licensed their technology out and had another developer use it to make
those games.
You're
saying that, like, if they were to include a microphone, Neversoft would license it through Harmonix kind of thing?
Something like that. I bet that's how it would have to work.
So we'll see. I don't know. After Guitar Hero 3, I got my suspect eye on... And I don't like that Les Paul controller. I don't like it.
That's my favorite of
all
time.
The buttons are too mushy.
The Guitar Hero
2 buttons are crisp. I mean, you barely even have to touch them. The Les Paul, they're like...
Well, so is the Rock Band one. I mean, the Rock Band guitar is terrible.
My favorite still Guitar Hero 2 guitar. It's got the crispest buttons.
Yeah, and but I do like the LP's shape and the fact that you can break the neck off.
And
that's
wireless.
And it's wireless.
That's all pretty cool. But the buttons, that's, to me, feature. The buttons and the strummer.
Gotta have that kinesthetic feedback.
You gotta have the click. What are you thinking, Harmonix? You gotta have the click. All right. What's next on the news?
All right, what you got, Blake Buck?
We're talking about Metal Gear Solid 4 boosts PS3 sales in Japan. Guns of the Patriot shoots the number one spot, and the Land of the Rising Sun shifts under 500,000 units in its first week of sales. I'm disappointed by those numbers.
I am, too. I was expecting way more.
You know, I guess the PS3 has a rather... I mean, even... Is it even worse off than the Xbox?
Well, if you'll remember, a little while ago they reported that sales of Grand Theft Auto 4 did not, in fact, boost sales of the Xbox 360 hardware or the PS3 hardware.
Are we talking about in Japan or just globally?
Everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And but I think this might be a different story, probably because the market saturation of the PS3 is so incredibly low.
Right. And
now, it has nowhere to go but up.
What's lower in Japan right now? Is it PS3 or 360? I'm not exactly sure.
I'm pretty sure it's 360, but
I think
PS3
is still, doesn't have much on it. So
still pretty low.
They sold 50,000 units in the first week. That is not... I mean, what, Halo shipped how many units on the first day?
A bajillion.
Yeah, it shipped like 3 million on the first day.
Right.
Grand Theft Auto was like 5 million first day.
Now, granted, this game does look hot. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you. Amazon sold out right now, but if I can get me a PS3, now's the time to buy. If you've been on the fence, you know, there's a couple good Dukes out there on it.
I don't know. I'd wait a little bit. I think that...
Here's what I'm thinking. Wait till E3, see if there may be a price drop that's next month.
Yep.
And then, you know, see from there.
I think certainly on the Xbox 360 side, because of the disappointing hardware sales due to Grand Theft Auto 4 and...
Disappointing hardware sales due to Grand Theft Auto 4.
Sure. They were counting on that to be a big hardware selling
title. It may not have been, you know, through the roof, but I'm sure it sold hardware. Are you telling me nobody bought an Xbox for GTA?
I'm telling you, I don't think that there was a sizable spike in...
You don't know what a sizable spike is.
Anyway.
Kiss me.
I think at E3, we're going to see a price drop on both consoles. So I would wait.
Well, I don't know on both. In fact, I would say neither. But I bet... I don't think we're going to see it at E3, but maybe like shortly after E3. Definitely before Christmas, we're going to see a price drop on both consoles. So maybe at E3, maybe a little after. But it's coming.
It's coming.
So Hideo Kojima's exclusive blah, blah, blah.
I don't know. If you guys have a free minute, I would head over there to Game Trailers and check out that Metal Gear Solid retrospective.
Oh, yeah?
Like... That all of their retrospectives over there at Game Trailers are really well produced and well put together. But this one especially, like, the last one goes over the entire story of all of the games.
Dude, it makes no sense.
It's crazy. Like, Hideo Kojima's opus is opium-induced. This man...
It makes no sense. Like, and that's not only just that. Okay, we're going to talk about this a little later. Japanese people do not know how to tell a story. That's the problem. Like, if I were to go to this... Okay, here's an example of a story. William Miller, I went to the store the other day and I bought myself a 40 and came back and drank it. That's my story.
All right.
Here's how it would be told in Japan. I wandered outside. The crisp birds in the air filled it with a sense of romance. And... Dude, who is this?
Josh Butler.
JB Grizzle.
I gotta pee.
Okay, we're doing the podcast. Keep it down.
Filled me with a sense of wonder. That was when I discovered my own passion in my heart.
40s. Like, it would take 10 minutes and it wouldn't be interesting. By the time you got to the end, it wouldn't even make sense.
Look,
did I even get drunk at the end? No one knows.
Okay, I don't think it's a matter of how they can or cannot tell stories. I just think that...
Oh, maybe our Western minds can't comprehend.
The Western aesthetic is not necessarily compatible. I think that...
Dude, storytelling's been the same since, you
know...
It's
not the same.
Since, like...
It's the same for Westerners. It's not the same for
Ancient Greece, ancient Africa, all these cultures have the exact same type of story structure, three acts, you know, exposition, rising action, falling action. We can't even muster that in some of these stories.
That's the kind of story that's readily consumed in today's market, but not necessarily. I'm not even talking about the three act structure. I'm just saying what is important to describe, what is important to show. All of these things are a little bit different across the ocean. Look,
we're going to talk about Devil May Cry 4 here. I'm going to lay it on thick.
Good.
Son.
Well, anyway.
At least some Western developers have their head on straight. What's his name? Mega Man guy. You know, did Dead Rising, Lost Planet.
Oh, God. What is his name?
I can't remember, but he makes games that have good plots and make sense. He's the only one.
Anyway, I like that Hideo Kojima's story for Metal Gear, the Metal Gear story, is sort of a fictional retelling of America's military conquest since the 1960s with magic. With, like, magic dudes with strange names and Kurt Russell. I mean, come on.
Pretty much. That's why I want it so bad. It's just Kurt the game.
Old Kurt.
Yeah.
Old Kurt the game.
They should just... Okay. Metal Gear 1 is called Kurt. Metal Gear 2 is Kurt plus his friend. Kurt and homo friend. The third game is young Kurt. And this is old Kurt. All right. I just want to read this last line here. The second best-selling console... of this week, ending June 15th, was the PlayStation Portable, still buoyed by Monster Hunter Portable 2nd G, which was released in March 27. It's been on the top of the charts for months.
Now, Blake Buck, you actually bought Monster Hunter for PSP. What do you think about that game?
Yeah, it's still sold. It sold 70,000 units this week in Japan. Even though it's been out for like 3 months.
I heard you poo-pooing on that game.
I played Monster Hunter. What's it called? I think it's called Monster Hunter something. It's something else in America. I don't remember. But look, that game, it's sort of like... Have you ever played Phantasy Star Online or Phantasy Star Universe? It's kind of like that. You get a little quest, you go do the quest, you come back, you collect your coins, and you go get more quests.
Yeah.
But just to get more items and, you know, let you kill bigger monsters.
Yeah, but that didn't have, like, multiplayer features. Like,
it doesn't. You can play up to 4 players ad hoc. Not infrastructure, though. That's one thing I was like, ooh, I'm going to be playing infrastructure. People on the internet. It doesn't have that.
Blake
doesn't
have any friends.
It does have downloadable content on the internet, though. That's true. But my problem with it took too long to get going. I played it for like 5 hours. I'm still doing those bitch like, go get. I lost my gerbil. Go find him. here's a hat. why can't they just let you do cool quests out the gate? So I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to stick it out long enough to see the cool quests.
I don't know.
All right, next article. Oh, one thing I want to talk about. Did you know that you can buy Dragon's Lair and Space? I think it's Space Ace or Space. What's the one? You know, it's a Laserdisc game.
Space Ace.
You can buy both of those on Blu-ray.
Or Space Quest.
You can buy them on Blu-ray, son. You can buy that game on Blu-ray.
Like you used to do with them Laserdisc. You play it with the remote control.
Yeah, you play it with the remote control.
Yeah.
Why don't anybody talk about that? I want to see a review of that.
Well, those games suck butt. If you didn't know. Have you ever tried to play Dragon's
Lair? Dude, that's
pretty
good. I've beaten the original.
Oh, my God.
You just suck dick at it, baby.
Oh, my God.
Whatever.
No, that game is awful. It's cool because... It looks sweet.
It looks sweet. And the dynamic. It's okay. It's designed at the open. It's at the more casual end player. All right. You see something dangerous to the left, so you press right.
Well, yeah. I mean, and
you see
it was
something
also,
you got to kill, you press cut.
It was also made in a time when the novelty of the CD-ROM had quite wore off. Here's what happened when William Miller bought
this
game.
No, this
is
way before the CD-ROM laser.
Well, the laser disc. Yeah, it came out on laser disc originally.
Yeah, you said CD-ROM just then.
Yeah,
CD-ROM came out in
okay,
the late
CD
80s.
Media.
I'm just saying.
Excuse me, multimedia.
Why don't you get your words straight, Slick?
Anyway, here's what happened when William Miller got this game. He got it for DOS. I remember.
I had it too. On
it was in like bargain bin. I picked that shit up. I saw the cover and it was cartoon. So cartoon like Cutting Man. So I love that. So I popped that thing in. I start playing it. I couldn't drive my man around.
My man's driving himself.
He's driving himself. I can't drive my man around.
Why
I can't cut when I want to.
Now I'm eating by this tentacle. I fell through the floor. This is the worst game ever.
I got like maybe 5 screens in and threw that crap in the trash.
Screens.
Done. I was done with that. But anyway, that's pretty cool, though. They're coming out on Blu-ray. I bet they look awesome.
Uh-oh. It's like CNN. What's that? It's time for Gakigate.
Blake Buck, I hear we have Tom Brokaw here to talk about that for us.
Yeah,
why don't you go get him?
This is CNN.
Our favorite game developer and man of mystery
in
Japan.
For those of you who don't know, there's a little game came out a couple days ago called Ninja Gaiden 2. Sequel to Ninja Gaiden 1 on Xbox that came out about maybe... 3 years ago.
These being the progeny of Ninja Gaiden on the NES.
It being different from Ninja Gaiden because you didn't know how to say it when you were in third grade. But, so these games were thought up. They're the brainchild of Tomonobu Itagaki, perhaps one of Japanese largest personalities in gaming. We call him the rock star game developer because... He wears his duster jacket, these thick sunglasses. He thinks he's pretty much the coolest dude on the planet, which instantly makes it true.
Yeah.
I mean, is he not the coolest dude ever?
He's pretty awesome. One time I saw an action figure of Tomonobu Itagaki, and it had two things that struck me as awesome. First of all, you could not remove his sunglasses. And secondly, he has an accessory, like, glass of champagne that he can carry around. I mean, come on. Awesome.
So he was in the news this might have been about a year ago, where he was like, some employee working at his company, Team Ninja, said that he groped and also, I think the technical word she used was groped and molested, not like...
We all know what really happened.
We know, look, it was consensual, baby. You can't deny them shades. You can't deny that champagne glass. Anyway, so he's gotten into a few scuffles before, but now he has had it with Team Ninja. He's not getting... They're saying, look, you ain't paying my bill, Slick. I'm out of here. So he says, on June 3rd, 2008, Itagaki announced he was leaving Tecmo and Team Ninja, citing difficulties with Tecmo. In the same statement announcing his resignation, Itagaki also announced he was filing a lawsuit against the former employer over unpaid bonuses for his work on Dead or Alive 4 for the Xbox 360. Itagaki's resignation takes effect on July 1st.
There's also there's also rumors spreading around that developers are leaving Tecmo in droves. I think a class action lawsuit is well on the way.
It sounds like Tecmo's been screwing people over. Look,
sounds like it.
Then again, it could just look. Oh man, see, here's what he did one day. So Itagaki's sitting in his house, in his office, right? His like giant palace office. He's got his feet propped up on the desk, and he's like, "I am so goddamn bored right now." Hey, Robert. Robert San.
Hey.
look, let's just say they ain't paying us and we're going to quit.
Okay.
We're going to do this. Come on, it's going to be awesome. Come on, let's just do it real quick. And then they're like, maybe a big scene. They bust up and the CEO, I'm out. Y'all done me wrong. He's just seeing how far he can take. He doesn't care. He'll start another company. He's just bored. He decided time to mix things up.
That's right. So where do you think this is going to go, Blake?
I don't know. Tecmo has slapped him with a gag order just a couple of days ago, so they don't want him to disclose or leak any information regarding Tecmo's new game. Obviously, you don't have to say that. He's already under NDA. Using newspapers, magazine, and internet to criticize the company. What? You can't. He's free as a bird, baby. I don't know how it works in Japan. You can't stop this man. he cannot obstruct the company's business through slanderous remarks. If their justice system is even halfway good in Japan, they can't. You can't stop The Rock, baby.
Tomonobu Itagaki, if you need an outlet overseas to espouse
just come on the show.
Yeah, just come on the show.
845-BATTLE-9.
Yeah, we'll play your voicemail. In fact, if one of our listeners would like to create a voicemail,
they're asking him not to accept any interviews regarding Tecmo or talk to the press about the company. Does this get approved? They filed it, but it has not been approved yet.
If Itagaki came on our show, it'd be similar to what we did with Uwe Ball. We just talk about how awesome he is. We don't care about Tecmo.
If you were to see the CEO of Team Ninja, would you punch his dick right now? Right now, do it. Yes or no? Do it. 5, 4. Tell me. So, I don't know. We'll see where this goes, but I'm excited. In all likelihood, he's probably going to make a new studio. He's just make, like, Kick Ass the studio.
Is that what it's going to be
or
called?
Rape. Studio Rape.
Okay.
All right. What else we got in the news? Tecmo says there's no mass exodus. They're denying it. Look, we know what's happening, baby.
We know it. We know what's going on.
Let's
Blake Buck entertain an allegory here with me. You are a lowly gameplay programmer that idolizes Tomonobu Itagaki.
Yeah, seriously.
What's going to happen when he goes off and quits?
I'll tell you, earlier this week, various Japanese websites reported that two employees representing the entire 300-person Tecmo staff had filed a lawsuit against the entire... So I guess everybody.
And these are high-level employees. These are not just scrub ones. Wasn't one of them like the... There were leads. They were like a lead level designer or something like that. Lead something or other.
So either way, we'll see how this goes, but I'm excited about it. He's stirring shit up. I like it. He's a gangster. Money in the bank! Ooh! Rumor report, Godfather author estate sues over game. Anthony Puzo takes Paramount Pictures to court over money earned off the Mafia's epic EA-developed adaptation. It has been confirmed now. So this was a rumor, now it's been confirmed. Electronic Arts has... wait a minute. No, that's something else.
You dumb.
It's been confirmed by Reuters that Anthony Puzo, son of the Godfather author Mario Puzo, is suing Paramount Studios for a cut of the game's revenues. Puzo is suing for at least $1 million, claiming that the 1992 agreement between his father and Paramount entitled the author to, and now his estate since Puzo died in 1999, a significant share of any audiovisual products based on or using the elements of the famous trilogy films.
I think he's got a case, but I don't think that game made $1 million, so...
Oh, sure it did.
Dude, that game had butt sales.
Dude, you butt-f***ing mother... excuse me. We're cutting back on cursing. You butt boy.
Thank you.
Look, Look, that game sold tons.
Are you serious?
Look, I don't even need to see the numbers, baby. Godfather: The Game. Done. You could have put a Duke in a box.
I hear it sucked though.
It was no. People, it got all right scores. It's a lot like Grand Theft Auto, but so what? Everything's a lot like Grand Theft Auto these days. It's on sale for $15 now on 360.
Maybe it's Scarface I'm thinking of. Did that get butt sales?
What am I thinking of? Both of them got
really?
Good sales.
Well,
because they had the strong movie lot. Look, I might even buy it. I think it's $20 at GameSpot now. They got a special sale going on.
Well, anyway, I think the Puzo estate certainly has a case. If that is in fact what the deal was.
Yeah, if this is the deal, if this sentence here, audiovisual products based on, I mean, that seems like it includes games. So.
You know, something I seem to remember, I think Mario Puzo also wrote the screenplay of Superman.
Did he really?
I think so.
You don't know that.
Look that up. Wikipedia that shit.
I ain't doing it.
Do it.
Oh, you butt.
I'm totally right.
Then we're going to lose steam.
Okay, well, keep going.
No, well, now I got to do it.
All right, fine.
I'm going to...
Look, there's no way we can lose steam. You are sitting like a foot away from me.
I just want to kiss you right now.
Oh.
But I know we shouldn't.
Look at that guy.
That dude is not nearly as cool as I thought he looked.
Clack, clack!
Ah!
I'm right!
And Superman 2. He also wrote the first draft of that movie, Earthquake. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Dude, he was a big 70s writer, Mario Puzo.
Right. Anyway, I think, I don't know, they should give the man his money.
You gotta give your coins to where it's due.
Yeah, that's right.
But then again, Mario, does he get, I wonder what percentage he gets, because, you know, it's so far removed now from his story. Like,
it doesn't matter. It's the same.
It's a game based on a movie based on a book, you know? So maybe that's part of where it's
I don't think that matters. I mean, you're using the intellectual property.
That's true.
Intellectual property transcends the media.
So pay your coin. Stop being bitch.
Speaking of paying coin, I don't know how this segues in, but Creature Creator came out.
So this is all right. Now we got to do a little talking about Will Wright.
All right,
we have had our doubts about Will Wright. I didn't think we'd ever see any product come out on the internet related to Spore, but it looks like they come out with the demo. Like, well, the game should have come out 2 years ago, but instead, let's put out a demo
of the creator part of the game.
So they say that the response has been overwhelming. For those of you who don't know what Spore is. It's essentially a game where you mimic life and you start on the microbial level, then you sort of evolve into creatures that can crawl around, then they make cities, and it's kind of like SimCity, and then, you know, they can fight with each other, and then you can go into outer space and have, like, you know, galactic battles and stuff. So, I don't know. It's pretty lofty, the goals of the game, but they've come out with a Creature Creator, a small section of it where you can make, like, you know, your little creatures that can crawl around. So, Will Wright's game may not be getting released until September 5th, but it launched part of the game, this Creature Creator, on yesterday. Since it's in one day of it being made, over 250,000 alien life forms were designed and posted on its online site, Sporepedia. Electronic Arts noted that the breakdown to more than two creatures a second, and who wrote this? See, so when they released this demo, they already had this nonsense written up.
I'm sure
breaking down. I'm not reading. I'm not recycling EA marketing rhetoric.
So I got a little text message or something from. I think it was Lucas.
Wasn't me.
He's saying, "Oh, have you played Wee Miller? You played the Creature Creator yet?" I'm thinking, "No, of course not." But I said, "Look, if I make a man, can he battle your man?" Yeah. No.
No,
no.
My roommate Calvin showed it to me. You make your dude, all right, and you can make them different shapes and all sort of things, and then they just kind of run around. Like, you can make them dance. You can kind of make them, like, you know, hop. Yeah. But they can't interact with anything. I mean, that's not a game to me. That's not even a demo. A demo is like a piece of the game you can play to see if you like the game as a whole. This is nothing.
I'm telling you, I think I think people are going to lose steam. They're going to play with this. They're going to think, oh, well, I'm done with Spore. Spore done.
You know what I can't believe is how much press Spore has gotten. I was walking in Walmart, and I saw a poster for Spore Creature Creator in Walmart. Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
The game's so far off from even coming out. Why would you tease this demo? Oh, the only way this game could live up to the hype, it somehow interacted with my parallel penis port and sucked my dick.
Clean it up, Blake Buck.
Suck my finger.
Thank you. I don't know. My biggest beef with this game, and I've said it a couple times, is that it's four games in one. What happens if you don't like three of them?
Yeah.
What happens if you want to play the one at the end?
Yeah, and they're not going to work together.
No.
Like, you know, when you get to the end of the microbe game, it's just going to be like you're on a totally new game now. It's not going to be integrated.
I mean,
all these elements and have them seamlessly blend together like they should in a good game is going to take.
I don't care about the blending part.
To me, it's going to be like you're going to be playing this game, now I'm playing this game. They're two totally different things.
Yeah,
the dynamics are
what
all
I'm
the
saying
same.
Is the same people that want to play Pong, or not Pong, want to play Pac-Man, which is essentially what the beginning of the game is, are not going to be the same people that want to play the Civilization or RTS type game that's at the end. I mean, that's the fundamental flaw.
I don't think this game knows its market. You know,
this game has no market. I mean, people will buy it, but it's not going to sell as many copies as it's going to take to recoup the money.
And there will still be people, even if it sucks, there will still be people that will herald it as the greatest game of all time.
I'm sure.
Because of its epic scope. I mean, this is...
Yeah, I mean, starting
from microbe going all the way to space exploration is a cool concept, but I don't think, unless they're very, very skilled and careful, it's going to be executed well.
Yeah.
Too much room for disaster.
I agree. And I'll withhold my judgment. I'll be honest. The GDC thing they did a million years ago looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
I cream my pants with everybody else. But I mean,
just think of it like this. You look at Gears of War 2. There's no way they can mess that up.
No.
Big guns, stuff blowing up. Just add more guns, and you'll love it. And you've got your market. You know who wants it. You look at this game. What do you do?
Explain
this game in a sentence. You evolve your man kind of thing.
Okay, well, that's a dangerous road to travel. I really admire the Spore team for trying something different. That's awesome.
No,
I mean, we need more things like Spore. I just question whether or not it's going to succeed. That's all. And
okay.
We'll have to wait and see.
All right. Now it's time for releases. This week we got Battlefield Bad Company on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. It's coming out on the 23rd. I cannot wait. It's going to put you in control of a squad of renegade soldiers who infiltrate enemy territory for revenge and profit. Let me tell you why I think this game is going to rock, and I've already pre-ordered the gold edition of the game. I hardly ever pre-order games. I'm already got it on lock, son. Yeah. I played that demo. If you play the demo... Single player and multiplayer of this game are awesome. So here's what they did. They took Battlefield, right? And they said, what has always sucked about Battlefield? Uh-oh, this is William Miller School of Game Design.
That's right.
Number one, I can't blow up enough shit.
Okay.
So they've added, like, everything can be blown up. Like, some dude in that house, is the wall gone, dude dead.
Okay.
So, like, you can't, like, they could have designed it where you could destroy everything in the game down to the ground. But then, I mean, who wants to play on, like... A plane.
Scorched earth.
Yeah, I mean, so you can blow up buildings down to their frames. If you've never played Battlefield before, it's large-scale multiplayer battles where you use different classes, have different vehicles and stuff. The online is really fun, and the single player, they've kind of got adopted, before it's been like they just put bots and stick you in multiplayer maps. Lame. Now they've got a story, and apparently the story, from what I can gather from as much as there is in the demo, you're in this squad of, like, rejects. Like, apparently your dude got, you know, sent to prison. And they're like, well, instead of going to prison, you're going to battle for the army. So your squad goes out, and they're like, And they kill all the enemies, right? And then they find this box of gold. And your squad says, wait a minute.
Did we write this story?
I'm done with army. It's time to go find us some gold. So the whole game, you're just finding gold. Like, you're... So I guess that's why it's a bad company. You're like a renegade squad on a quest for gold.
That's pretty awesome.
So look, I'm excited. I already signed up for the gold edition. I think it's gonna be hot.
Now is this?
And check out the demo on 360 and PS3 Marketplace.
Aesthetically, is this the same as Battlefield?
You mean from like the graphic standpoint?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's very. The graphics are awesome.
Okay.
So, I mean, yes, William, they did update the graphics for this game.
I get confused with this game, and there's some game that's in development or coming out soon, sort of a knockoff of Team Fortress.
Oh, yeah, it's a Battlefield Heroes, I think, and it's kind of got that cartoon style.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
This is not the same game. And this one's made by DICE, who made the original Okay, there's been a bunch of Battlefield games, but there's really only three. There's Battlefield 1942,
right.
And then there's, like, Battlefield 2. Right, they did those two games.
Right.
So, like, all these, about Vietnam, those are all, like, cash-ins from another company.
Right.
But this is, like, the original team. They got all the talent there. This is a brand new engine they're working with. I mean, like, okay, so, like, you can call in artillery strikes, right? If you play this game for, like, an hour, or, like, 30 minutes on a multiplayer level, like, And some dude's on our chill. You can't even see the ground. It's all covered in potholes. All the buildings are blown out.
It's pretty awesome.
So I'm digging it.
You know what I think they should do, Black Buck? I think that they should take the Capcom approach for a new franchise.
What's that?
Medal of Honor versus Battlefield. They battle.
They fight.
They fight.
That makes no sense. You are an idiot.
The game would look the same as any other Battlefield or Medal of Honor game.
Well, see, Battlefield's always been, Medal of Honor has always been kind of about the single player, and Battlefield's been more multiplayer. So we'll see how it turns out, but we'll excited. I'll let you know next week.
I can see the box art. It just has, like, on one side, it's got a bunch of medals, and then versus, and then you see a scorched earth Battlefield. All right, let me angle this heat. All right, we got Alone in the Dark coming out for Xbox 360, PS2, PC, and Wii. Dated June 23rd. It's an action survival game. Challenges players to investigate shadowy conspiracies that surround Central Park in New York City.
Notice how the marketers have who does this? Atari? Have phrased this now. Nobody says survival horror anymore. It's called action survival now. Resident Evil 4, not really, you know, nobody really thinks that it's more of an action game now. The whole survival horror has had this action push, which I think is for the better.
Now, Blake Buck, didn't they already make an Alone in the Dark? And didn't Uwe make a movie about it?
Okay, here's how it works. 1990, I want to say around 1993, maybe 1992, Alone in the Dark came out on the CD-ROM. It was a big deal because it was 3D. I mean, it had 2D backgrounds, but the characters were 3D, right? And this was a big deal, and it was scary.
Scary.
You know, you're in a spook house, had to get out. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was the first. I mean, it's debatable. You could say, okay, I'm sure there was some mud that was spooky.
Dude, Phantasmagoria.
But this was really the first classical survival horror game. Anyway, after that, they made some spinoffs, and one came out a few years ago. None of them really gotten the success that the original had. Well, then again, games didn't really sell that much back in the day, but comparatively, it's kind of fallen by the wayside. This new one, though, they sunk a lot of money into this game. It's set in New York City, got some sort of undead, evil things in the ground, and looks like. So we'll see how it turns out.
Actually, you just shoot bums.
That's condemned, dude.
Oh, sorry.
All right, those are really the only two releases worth mentioning. The other ones, Hellboy, some bullshit, bull honky.
Malarkey.
Bull malarkey. Hail to the Chimp. That looks like the dumbest game ever. Guitar Hero on Tour on the DS. That could be fun. And Rock Band on the Wii.
So. Wait a minute. Guitar Hero on Tour on the DS is being released soon?
The 22nd.
Now, I still have yet to figure out how that game works.
Look, you hold it side. There's a cartridge that plugs into the Game Boy slot.
Big tape.
It's got four buttons on it, and then you strum the screen, the other, the touch screen.
What do you look at?
You look at the other screen.
What?
There's two screens. He's trying to mimic it.
Like how I'm going to play it. I don't know.
I'm sure I'm sure several hundred, like, you know, dollars were sunk into making it playable. I'm sure they found a way. Top Spin 3, some Final Fantasy Tactics on. calm down now. That's coming out on DS.
Do that A2. I'm gonna get that mess.
And Operation Darkness coming out on 360. I saw the demo of this on the marketplace. Let me tell you what this game is. It is a real time. It is a tactic strategy game set in World War II. Where you play as like commandos who turn into werewolves and fight Nazis.
Is it Wee Boo Boo?
Yeah, and it's anime. You would think this is the worst game of all time. The graphics look like N64 at best, maybe Xbox. It looked terrible. The gameplay was awful. I couldn't stop laughing. I've never played a game and just laughed at it the whole time.
So I tell you, these Japanese tactics games, yeah,
they're going out of control.
It's just out of control. What's that game?
Well, they're going to have like Sakura Tactics.
No, what's that game on the PSP that's just ridiculous?
I don't know.
Aaron Anderson played through it. I forget what it's called. There's this one game on the PSP, literally has like a bajillion hours of gameplay. You can like stack units, and like a unit can throw another unit at dudes, and it's just ridiculous.
Dumb. All right, now it's time for the judgment.
Now, Blake Buck,
yes, sir.
We talked a little bit about this on the Drunk Cast. If you didn't tune into that,
you didn't miss much.
Now, whenever Wayne Miller comes to Blake Buck's house, Blake Buck sets him up with all the cool demos he's downloaded off Xbox Live. Now, of course, I was put in front of what Devil May Cry 4. Now, Wayne Miller plays this for 10 minutes.
No, it was like 10 seconds.
And concludes it's the best game of all time. Because you can keep yourself in the air when you're firing your pistol. I mean,
like, you shoot your gun and somehow that kind of levitates you in the air as you fire your gun. Yeah.
It had ridiculous anime nonsense cutscenes, which I just gobble that crap up. And, I mean, come on. It was awesome. Thumbs up from me. Of course, when Blake Buck actually bought it, exchanged his piggy bank for a copy of the game at GameStop. That's
what, and I tricked him. I went and said, oh, I'm going to reserve Battlefield. And they're like, oh, Blake, I'm so glad you reserved something today. And then, clank, clank, slam them rolls of quarters on the counter. Take that, bitch.
So anyway, after he gets the game, of course, I play for like 10 minutes. And
I'm done with it.
I'm done. And then Calvin beats it. And
that was my friend Barney.
Barney.
He was hooked. He played this game for like 10 hours, like for like 3 days in a row and beat it twice. Get this, he was playing, now you remember this, but I hadn't told, he was playing the game, and it doesn't automatically save. He got to last boss and lost, hadn't saved his game, lost 4 hours of gameplay.
Amazing.
What an idiot.
And he got them all back. Like me, I would have just quit.
Yeah, never played it again.
Never played it again, but he actually persevered and conquered the game. So, now, to be honest, I'd keep playing this game.
Yeah, you would.
I would.
But you never play anything.
But I never play. I actually did get an Xbox 360 recently. I've been playing through that BioShock mess. Yeah. Oh, and I've concluded that Eternal Sonata, we talked about this on the Drunkcast too, that game's all right. Yeah. I turned off the English vocal track, and now it's Japanese, so it's just like I'm watching weeboo nonsense anime, and I love it. I eat it up.
I like the graphics are really good in Eternal Sonata, and it's got the good gameplay.
It's a gorgeous game.
It's got, what's it called? You know, action-oriented. See, yeah. I can't do turn-based role-playing.
I'm too dumb. Anyway, back to
Devil May Cry 4. The game looks amazing, all right? I know Ninja Gaiden 2 came out, and I'm sure that's a good game. Look, this one's better. I hadn't even played it. I love it. So, I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of Ninja Gaiden. Never have been. Maybe if I played the new one, I'd be more into it.
Ninja Gaiden.
We're talking about Ninja Gaiden.
I know. But Ninja Gaiden, you're a big fan of that.
Yeah. But those are two different games in my mind. Right. Anyway, what I'm getting at is, you know, I haven't really played much Ninja Gaiden 2, but I like Devil May Cry because it's so over the top.
Right.
You know, it's less real. Then again, so is Ninja Gaiden, but we'll see. I'll play it. So anyway, you go around. The story makes absolutely no sense. You're like some demon hunter. You got to go kill this thing, and then you get betrayed, and then there's another demon hunter, and you're like the son of another demon, and then they need your blood to make another demon. It's so stupid. All the cutscenes, you're just slapping your face. You're like, I cannot believe how stupid this is. So, So there's this one part where there's this hot sexy girl, right, and she's killing all these dudes. So there's this cutscene where they're fighting, right, and you can this girl kind of just, it's I started like level 3 or something. This girl comes out of the sky and she's got like no clothes on,
bikini babe,
and she's fighting, and there's all these shots up the crotch of the breasts, all that. I'm loving it. Nobody's talking and I'm getting to see titty, so I'm liking it,
right?
And then later in the game, right, and she just kind of disappears. You never see her again. Then later in the game, right, you see her again, and she takes, like, her costume off, and it's a completely different character. It's a character from another Devil May Cry game, but they don't look anything alike. And how they hide the transition, she, like, grabs something, like, it looks like a sheet or something, and pulls it above her, and she turns into the other character. That's how that's explained. Oh. The two characters don't look anything alike. Like, nice. One of them looks like, you know, like has short hair, the other one's got long hair, they have like different complexion. Oh, I just pulled a sheet.
Well, I mean, come on, Blake, she's a demon. Demons can do sheet magic.
So the end of the game, you're fighting this big like statue monster. It doesn't make any sense.
And here's what pisses me off about that. Like I watched Barney beat the game. You fight this huge like colossus at the end of the game. You like cut its face and all that, awesome. And then you go inside, fight this little pissant dude.
Yeah, that's
and
how,
it's like he's 10 times as hard as the colossus. The fuck?
I can think of a lot of games that are like that. Like you fight the really awesome thing, and then you got to fight some little biatch at the end of the game. Like even Metal Gear, you beat Metal Gear, and then you get to fight like biatch. Liquid. Lame.
Yeah, lame. Lame.
Metal Gear is the last... Look, we fight Liquid first, and then somehow...
But at least in Metal Gear, like, you had some story investment in
Liquid.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, that's my...
You fight Liquid. That's pretty cool. You don't know who this dude is.
Well, then again, now, to defend it, like, we were drinking and not paying attention to any of the cutscenes.
Well, but if we were sober, would we have understood?
I don't think
Probably
so.
Probably not.
So, story is absolutely ridiculous. Just skip all the cutscenes and get back to cutting.
Get back to cutting.
But the gameplay is good. There's an unlocking system for all the abilities and stuff. The only thing I don't like, you play through the levels the first time as Nero, and you come back through as Dante through about like six of them. You play through them again, they mix them up, but at the same time, this is the same levels pretty much.
Yeah.
So they did that kind of Halo, you know, run through the same levels again. Not bad, but at the same time, could have been a little better. Overall, though, I definitely say it's worth the time. If you're into an action shooter, I'm sure this or Ninja Gaiden are probably pretty good picks. I would go with this just because I played it, though, and I know for a fact it's good. And it's also got multiple difficulties because Ninja Gaiden way too hard.
Now, another thing that pissed me off about it, I mean, granted, I do like the game, but one thing that pisses me off about this game, and this is not necessarily limited to this one, but you never get to do the really cool stuff.
Yeah, all the cool stuff is in the cutscenes.
All the cool stuff's in the cutscenes.
And, game developers are starting to do, like, God of War, your character does really cool stuff and you do them button mashes. I do not like, I'm done with that mechanic. Like, cool stuff's happening, but they're trying to make me feel involved through these button mashes.
Yeah,
no dumb. Dice, Slick. No dice. I saw through that.
Yeah, dumb. I hated it. So, I mean, like, okay, for instance, the first, you get in the cathedral, okay?
Yeah.
I'm killing these beasts. And I go onto the balcony and I see, like, 100 beasts down there. Yeah. I want to kill them all. But I can't.
Your dude jumps down there and kills them for you.
Yeah, he later jumps down there and kills. Dumb. That's retarded.
Well, you got to have some cutscene elements. You know, one thing I like about the cutscenes in this game that are different from those in Ninja Gaiden. And I thought you might find this interesting. Cutscenes in this game, I don't think they're pre-rendered, but they run them at 24 frames.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, they're not pre-rendered, but they
run them at 24 frames, and they look like movies.
Huh.
Whereas you watch cutscenes in Ninja Gaiden, they're all at 60 frames and look stupid. I don't know, like, it's a difference between watching a cutscene and watching, game footage.
Yeah.
Cutscenes don't look as cool in Ninja Gaiden because they're not 24 frames.
Man, I went into a Best Buy with my roommate Aaron one time. We were looking at Blu-ray tape players. And I saw this one tape player. It was playing Pirates of the Caribbean or something. And, like, the tape player actually added frames to the movie. Like, it interpolated frames. And it
really?
Looked like... Yeah. It looked like I was watching... behind the scenes footage.
Like a window.
Yeah, it looked like I was watching behind the scenes footage. It did not look like a movie. It took me a minute to figure out, oh, that's a scene from the movie. I don't see like a boom mic anywhere. It must be like, that's dumb. All you filmmakers and game developers out there.
24 frames has, I don't know what it is, but it's got this certain aura that gives you a kind of a cinematic quality.
That aura, we've seen that.
So I guess it does kind of take you out of the gameplay, but at the same time, if that's what you're trying to do with the story.
Cinematics take you out of the gameplay anyways. If you're going to have them, you might as well do them right.
Right. All right, so overall, it's a good game. I got mine for $45. That's a good price. I don't know if I'd pay $60 or $70 for the ridiculous limited edition, but, pick you up, and if you want to wait a little bit, I'm sure it'll be $30 for soon, so it's pretty good. Solid deal. Solid action game. Thumbs up.
Solid. All right, Blake Buck, it's time for feedback.
Oh, no, we got to do Jank of the Week.
Oh, time for Jank of the Week.
My Jank of the Week, we're talking about GameStop's game day sales. They got this thing running through the month of June and July. They got a whole bunch of games on sale almost at half price. You can buy Condemned 2, $30. That's a pretty good price. What else can you get? They have a whole bunch of stuff that's on sale. I got Monster Hunter Portable for $20. Afterburner on PSP for like $15. There's Sega Superstar Tennis, $15. There's a whole bunch of titles. You can go check out their website. Or just go in the store. They usually set up little bins. But there's some quality games in there for about half the price. So be sure to scope that out. GameStop's Game Day Sales.
It's pretty hot.
Dude, Condemned. I love that tape.
Chop Hobos. What did you do in that tape? All right, Blake Buck. It's time for feedback.
Okay, most of our emails go along the lines of this. Johan B. says, where the f*** is my show? You have 24 hours. Terry's Turbo Towel is funny, but not enough to fulfill my needs. I need to listen to Blake's sexy voice every second of my life.
Ooh.
I listen to the podcast every day nonstop. I have pictures of Blake Lee on my wall and inside my school locker. I crave Blake Buck. Signed, Johan.
That's disgusting.
Please never tell me that again.
Don't ever say that again.
Calix Gersman says... hey, y'all, it's been a while since I wrote you, so you guys are getting so goddamn slow at putting... Boo Boo Squad, making some tear noises right now. Blake Buck, watch Pilot of the Lost now. No, just because you said it. Why are you going to make fun of me and then ask me to do something one sentence later? Second, put them new arts logo. Look, I'm done reading this. Zap Brannigan says, Hal Blake Buck, can you go on arguing when you're smart that in the last episode you said you were dumb at least twice? Look, you're just taking things too literally. I know I ain't dumb.
Just like you're not gay.
That's right. Shut your mouth. Anyway, he says, P.S., where is Anthony from Alabama? That is an excellent question.
Where is Anthony from Alabama?
Hey.
Hi.
This is Anthony.
Leggy McJaggy says, dear best damn podcast ever. Sup, guys? Sergeant Skill reporting in. Episode 40 rule, but no one takes a shit on Hideo Kojima. The man brought us the stealth hero wandering around in a cardboard box.
Who took a shit on Hideo Kojima?
Oh, we were just saying how, I don't remember, but we were saying something along the lines of he's not, okay, we were just talking about this earlier, how his storytelling is nonsense.
Well, it's different. Look, we're not going to get into that.
Nah, we already talked about this. A million people in 1,000 countries look at that and throw their arms up and say, sold. Look, and it says Blake Dumb. Look, don't send me emails of Blake Dumb. I ain't going to read the rest of it. There's a second half. Done. Ain't reading it.
All right. Will William Miller, where is my album art? You were assigned a job, man. I want album art or I'll have to come to your house and take a deuce on your desk. You know what, Miller? There was something that pissed me off yesterday and almost made me go Blake Dumb. But there isn't any album art or chapter marker, so I can't find it. That's good for you, Blake Bug.
That is good for me.
You're just hurting yourself, son. Just hurting yourself.
That's Sirius Fox. All right.
Look, album art, look. That's all I'm going to say about that. Look.
Oh, now look at this request. Okay. Dustin B. says, please read the whole thing. The listeners need to hear this. And then it goes on for 10 goddamn... Are you kidding me? Read this whole thing.
Wait, what does it say?
Dude, I don't...
There's some underline part. Read that.
All right, well, we'll start reading it. And then if we lose interest, you'll know why.
All right.
Hey, guys, my name is Bartolucci. Is that... Say that how you...
Bartolucci,
is that it? I've been listening to the show since episode 1 of BDP, but never made an attempt on posting in the forums. However, I do believe this argument is warranted for a response from me. I'm entering my first year of college, not saying I'm really smart or blah, 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 and blah, 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 and believe the definition of bad language is found in today's fifth grade classroom. All is rooted in the meaning of the synonym, a word that is used has the same meaning as another word in the English language. For example, is this another thing about not cursing and stuff? I'm so tired of talking about this. No one word is worse than the next. The profane nature of the word or phrase is derived from the connotation, the way the word phrase is delivered in speech, and not its meaning. Look, you say all this, my mama still yells at me when I say f*** on the radio. All right, so blah, blah, blah. Look, I'm not reading all this, but he's essentially arguing that we shouldn't have censorship because, at least I think.
Know. Look,
I haven't read
any. Here's my whole take on the censorship issue. I have two sides of this. The first side is for the listeners. I want a work-safe show. I want you to be able to listen to the show at work. That's fine. You know, I want younger listeners to be able to listen to it. That's fine, too. I want to clean it up a little bit. I mean, every once in a while, we can cuss. And, you know, buzzer bomb, that's pretty funny. And then the second thing is more self-interested. I don't want to be associated with a show that just poo-poo mouth.
do what?
Poo-poo mouth.
Poo-poo mouth. That's less worse than potty mouth.
That's worse than potty mouth. So I am pulling for a cleaner show, but...
Look, it really doesn't make a big difference. I don't know why you guys are writing us up 10-page emails about why we need to stop censoring the show.
No, look, and it
doesn't matter. It's not going to be any different.
And
if
we
you
do... Hear, that's right. You're going to get the same content.
Get ready. We're not going to censor this. Fuck. Whoa. The show's changed forever now.
Now, and listen, I think that if you have to censor yourselves, like, let's take Matt Stone and Trey Parker, right? When they got a chance to do a show that had no censorship in it, it was butt. What was it called?
I don't even remember,
right. But they have to do South Park. They work under FCC constraints. They have to be more creative with how they deliver their jokes. I mean, this kind of stuff makes the show better, and I think it works the same for us.
Look, it's not a big deal. Everybody's making big deal out of nothing.
Yeah, plus we have things like the Drunk Cast and the live shows where we just go off the handle, and if you like cussing, you can listen
to that.
That's
why when we post those, I want them to be like optional downloads. Like,
yeah,
we'll post
exactly.
This show, and then those two Drunk Cast shows will come out.
Right.
So you don't get them automatically, but if you want them, they're there.
Right.
That's how I think. So anyway, enough talking about this. Okay, Christian Anonymous says, number one, either you delete all my emails or your email is broken. Fix it now. It's probably William's fault. That sounds likely.
Probably.
My name is Christian C., not Christian Nazi and not the other Christian C. Number three, still waiting on you to let me back into the forums. I told you, talk to Battlecat. Okay. All right. If I wasn't banned from the forums for another reason than Battlecat's ignorance of the unquestionable truth, I would have posted this here, but instead I have to email it, which means there's a 50% chance you will or won't read it. Dude, what is this? Don't send us links. Nobody, no links. Nobody ever sending goddamn links anymore. I don't want to hear about no 4chan video you found. Done.
Oh, God. You're one of those beetards, aren't you? We know. Look.
Okay. It's time for feedback tutorial. Y'all don't know how to feedback, so we're gonna tell you. Don't send us links to some video. If it's a link, we have to be able to talk about it, and it takes too much time to explain things.
That's right.
So don't send us links. We're not going to read your shit if you're sending us a link to a video. And number two, don't talk about what you and your internet jerk-off forum friends were talking about the other day. Done with that. Anyway, if you're having a problem getting in the forum, email Battlecat. His email is on the site. If you go to the forums, look up his name. You can find Battlecat's email and get back in the forums. Anyway, but I do have to give him this much, though. Christian C. says, Blake smart, Miller dumb, thick fat, according to 4chan.
Thank you, 4chan.
And that's what you get for putting your image of yourself on the internet. Dude, just you know, I was like, somebody sent me a something awful link the other day, not even relating to the show, and I saw a Photoshop of my face.
I've seen Photoshops of your face. I've seen links to 4chan of your face. People
dude,
love
I
it.
Love it. I love
and,
it.
And then there was that person that, like, drew this awesome render, this pencil rendering of your face on conceptart.org. Yeah. That was pretty awesome.
Syndication Outreach, Dylan Charles. Hey, BDP crew, I'm an avid listener to your program. I've noticed you've tried to become syndicated podcast with an online... And I've noticed that you've tried to become a syndicated podcast with an online gaming websites. Watch your grammar there, buddy.
Oh, my God. Can't read. Give me this.
You can't have a bad grammar. Come on, you read it.
All right. Dear BDPE crew, I'm an avid listener to your program and have noticed that you've tried to become a syndicated podcast with online gaming websites. I'm wondering if you would have any aversion to me, on behalf of you fellas, getting in contact with several websites looking for contributors. I'm a 23-year-old college student and mod maker for Half-Life 2 and have many former mod team members in the industry. I'm sure that there's an outlet for your program. Will help with costs and enable a more frequent show. Ideally, an outlet would provide you with both pay and, more importantly, early press access to video games currently in development. This could be an opportunity to widen the audience of your show and ensure the continuation of the life of BDPE. If you'd be interested, shoot me an email or give me a call. That sounds awesome to me.
Let's call him right now.
Call him right now.
Clank.
Clank, clank.
Hello?
Hello, is this Dylan?
This
is William Miller and Blake Buck from the Best Damn Podcast Ever. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Driving
cross-country
Texas.
Oh, all right. Well, we're doing a show here, and we were doing our feedback section and ran across your email. And let me tell you, we're really interested about you helping us getting syndicated.
Yeah, man.
I'd be more than happy to do it. And basically, when I was working on various Half-Life 2 modifications, I ran across just having to be the PR guy, having to... keep interest in our mod and the community, so I'd be more than happy to look into just trying to contact all my friends who actually are still in the industry and get to spread the word.
So you have some enumerated things that we need, that you need, some press material, a promo for the show. What else do you think would help speed this process up?
Just a 2-minute clip that really just encompasses why the Best Damn Podcast Ever is pretty much the best show to listen to for gaming news. I mean, you just hit on the fact that you guys not only are just about the, you know, oh my god, graphics walls, but you actually talk about, you know, what makes good games and from a design perspective. I think something that other podcasts just don't do as well as you guys.
All right. Well, that sounds good. We'll have Lucas work something up for you. And we'll be in contact in the next few days.
Yeah, we'll email you those bios that you mentioned. And I actually have some stuff already written for press releases, so I can just forward you all that information.
All right, well, thanks a lot, guys. And before we let you go, just one thing, Blake Buck smart.
Oh!
All right, Dylan, we'll talk to you later.
All right, I'll check my email. Later, guys.
See ya.
That's how you be a good listener. Who wants to be a good listener? Put your hand in the air. Hey, William.
Me?
If you want to be a good listener, do you send us links?
No.
Do you talk about how your friends were having jokes on forums other day? Or do you get us on professional gaming websites and promote the hell out of us?
Yeah.
There you go.
There we are.
Done.
Now here's two things. Two things. Were we to be syndicated, I just want to put your dear listeners' minds at ease. If were we to be syndicated, we would not compromise the lack of integrity.
Oh, dude, I get free games. It's over.
Oh, then you would become a journalist.
Oh, dude, Madden. I love that shit. Come on, you see the cleats. That's awesome. Medal of Honor. I love it. Capcom has the best storytellers.
Anyway, that's awesome. So we're gonna follow up on that. Look, I'm done with this.
It's like one out of two emails is, where's the show? Where's the show?
Look, I'm ready to call our buddy back.
All right, is it time for that?
I think so.
Do we do Stump Buck? Or which?
Blake Buck, it's just me. You think I'm going to have a Stump Buck for you?
You suck. All right,
dude,
done.
That's not
I'll stump
happen.
You right now.
Go.
I look around the room. Let's see if you remember this one. I just want to mention this. NBA Hang Time.
Oh, I was just about to say. Okay, so
oh, wait, no.
You tell the story.
You're no good at spinning these yarns. The year is 1993. Midway, classic arcade game developer, releases NBA Jam, one of the greatest games of all time, featuring high-flying dunks. Ridiculous basket. You can play as Bill Clinton, one of the most ridiculous sports games ever made. 1994, they release NBA Tournament Edition, which takes it to an even new level. The series goes quiet for a few years. Nothing is heard. Most gamers don't even know. But in 1997, Midway releases the third installment, NBA Hang Time, with advanced graphics, the most insane, diabolical dunks I've ever seen. Good God, it's like NBA Jam 2.0. It's off the chain. You've got to check it out. Get you an emulator, fire it up. You will be gagging by the
so
10 seconds in.
Blake Buck, this game is absolutely ridiculous. Why don't you give us some examples of...
Okay, so like, your dude, if you get on fire, Lord help you if your dude gets on fire, that your dude will jump into the air. Flames come out of his feet as he soars with the smoking basketball towards the goal. You pass it to your other teammate who is way above him in the air, also on fire, and dunks like with an atomic explosion.
So this game, this whole franchise sort of took the William Miller School of Game Design approach.
What sucks about basketball?
What sucks about basketball? Too many mans. Take them out. Only four.
And why can't I jump higher?
And you jump higher.
Dunk harder.
What's awesome about basketball? Dunking. So what do we do? We put power.
Yeah, and there's only
juice.
That's why
there.
NBA Jam's so awesome. There's only three buttons. There's jump, shoot, and turbo.
And turbo.
Guess what turbo does? It makes everything better. You hold turbo while you press anything else, it's going to make it better.
That's right. This game's awesome. So
if you block and you're holding turbo, it becomes grab.
Now, did this game come out for the SNES? Like
I don't
the
think so.
NBA
I believe
Jam
it
did?
Was only in arcades, which is why I don't think I've ever... I can't believe I didn't hear of it until like this week.
I know.
So it is off the chain. Be sure to check out NBA Hang Time. It's time to call up our boy.
All right, let's call him up. Joshua C., this is the best damn podcast ever.
How y'all doing?
Have you completed your mission?
Yes, I have, along with many a friend.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Would you like to hear the story?
Yes, please regale us the story.
Yeah, send the email first, and then regale us with the tale.
All right. So I just sent it.
Awesome.
Right when you called, I couldn't hear you, but after I heard what y'all said... four of my friends were playing brawl or whatever, but
not anymore.
I told them the best damn podcast, none of them know it, so I told them and they were all down for it. So anyway,
awesome.
We were trying to think of ideas. The first idea we came up with was Paperboy, so he ran to the garage and my friend said he didn't have a bike, and we tried to find a bike. We couldn't find a bike, but my friend, so Paperboy's down the drain. Then I was thinking, let's go with the classic, let's go with Pac-Man. I went and drove to the nearest retail store, which is called Kohl's. It's like a JCPenney.
Right.
And we went inside. We were trying to think, what can we use? Dresses, shirts. And then I come across the towel section.
Uh-oh.
I was like, okay, get a color and go. And basically, we had the pictures tell the rest of the story for that.
All right, awesome.
Did you guys get the email?
Okay, here we go. It's opening up now.
And not only that, we had to fulfill a bonus.
Oh, a bonus.
Yeah, so I wanted to dig into Gaki so bad.
Amazing.
All right, so we got some ghosts.
We got
your Pac-Man's a little lackluster, I'm gonna be honest, but he does have a mouth.
He gets the point across.
We got the
I see Space Michael. That's amazing.
Now I'm gonna have to be honest with you, that man does not really resemble Michael Jackson, but we're gonna give you the bonus points anyway.
Well, with the mop on his head, he looks a little better. Oh my god. Well, Joshua C., congratulations. You've entered the pantheon of battle gladiators.
You and your friends are champions.
Very, very well done. Congratulations.
We are very honored. If you keep looking at the video at the end of us being good.
Oh, wow. See, that's what I'm talking about.
By the way, it's just a little inside of what happened.
Awesome. All right, we'll play that a little later. My computer doesn't run real good when we're doing the show. But fantastic work, man.
All right.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we appreciate the submission. Usually, they don't do so good. So you have bucked the trend. Congratulations, sir. Well, thank you for being a loyal listener, and we will probably talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, man. See you later.
Bye.
Sons, this is how it's done.
I'm telling
this
you.
This is how you do it, right here.
Look, again, he didn't have to spend a lot of money and go through a lot. You just got to get creative.
Get creative. That's right. That's right. This is exactly how it's done.
That's tinfoil and a paper plate taped to his chest. That
Space
is Space
Michael.
I will buy that as Space Michael.
Oh,
and so,
my
you
God.
Know why I did good? It looks like he was already drunk when we called him. So
exactly.
It was even easier for him.
That's amazing.
Oh, he's got a 5 on the plate. See, dude. Goal. Perfect. Perfect. This is exactly how battle is supposed to go. Dude.
That's it.
You were battle contender. Okay, I don't want to take away from the other battle victim, but compared to the losers we've had lately.
Oh yeah.
You've brought it back full circle, sir. So thank you so much to Joshua C. Well, that does it for the best damn podcast ever.
I know.
Do you think about that?
That was a good show. I'm sorry we didn't have Justin Fick, as we usually do.
We
kept it real. We did.
If you guys got any feedback for us that doesn't include bullshit links or long tirades about how you think we should not censor the show, email us at feedback@bestdamnpodcastever or call the listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. We forgot to play the calls.
We'll play them next time.
There were some funny calls, though, so we'll play them next time. Also, if you'd like to donate to the show, it's donate@bestdamnpodcastever. There's links in the show notes and on the site. And furthermore, even more important than donating, guys. Actually, my money in my PayPal account is about to run out. So now is the time to donate. But more important than that, like what's his name, Dylan, who's going to help us promote BDP on websites. That's so key, guys. We got to get out there and promote the show because look. We barely even have time to do the show. Let's promote it. So anything you guys can do to help
is
a big help. See, we got anything else to add before the end of the show?
I don't think. Oh, one thing, Blake Buck, that you conveniently skipped over by skipping the voicemails. One person that sent us a voicemail was angry about the lack of shirts.
Oh, so I tell you what. You and me, we're going to get in our truck tomorrow.
Get in our truck tomorrow.
I have the money now.
It's a deal.
If I don't buy the PlayStation 3... I will buy. It's gonna cost me around $400, but I think we can. We'll charge you assholes out the butt for them.
Okay,
they'll be about $1,000 each. So if we sell one shirt, we'll have turned a profit.
Sweet.
No, but I think I'll put the coin down. I think if we sell about 30 shirts, we'll turn a profit.
Okay.
So if you're interested in the shirt, let us know. We might have them by next week.
All right, good deal.
Well, from Officer at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
And I'm William Miller.
And we'll see you next time.
We need to save our galaxy, Ulala. Are you ready? Let's dance.
Daddy Miller says I can't curse anymore. He's gonna wash my mouth out with soap.
I'm gonna wash his balls out with my mouth.
Don't do that.
Has the dumbest guy. I've never been able to figure out how to call anybody on this piece of ass blowing.
I do this every single time we do a show, and
I'm gonna grind my dick into your mouth, like when you're a kid and you're trying to fit the circular peg into the square hole. That's what it's gonna be like. It don't fit.
It's because your dick is square. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
You got that round mouth.
Come on, you can do it. I like it.
Welcome to the Best Damn Podcast Ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting me...
One more time, use your words.
See you soon at Space Channel 5.